Several months ago, a good friend of mine and I talked. And we've talked off and on for years. He's a good friend of mine from Del Rio. He's a member of the Del Rio Church, the only one we have, the church has in Del Rio. He's a long-time member. He's been attending since Worldwide, when the church used to go to Uvalde and meet over there. So he's been around for quite a bit. And we have met in feast sites and whatever, and we've kept in communication. And when I go to Del Rio, I go to his home, and we'll talk on the Sabbath and have a Bible study. He told me one of these conversations that there was a family in Ciudad Acuña that attends or listens to services or the tapes. And I said, wow, that's great. And he said, and on top of that, Mr. DeMakis, one of the ministers from the Chihuahua church, comes and gives him a Bible study or two every few months, every 3 months. I said, oh, that's good. And so time passed, probably almost a year. And I get a call from him several weeks ago, and he said, Mark, I lost your phone number, but I got it. And I said, I meant to call you back. He said, you told me it'd be nice to see to let you know if Mr. DeMakis is going to Acuña. And he's coming this Sabbath. And I said, well, great. He said, I'm going to go. So this sermonette is, if you want to title it, it's about the brethren in Acuña, Mexico. So he goes on with the conversation, telephone conversations. He said, sure. He said, we'll go. And I said, let's bank on it. He says, I'll swing by and pick you up at your mother's house, because I'd stay there at my mom's house in Del Rio. So he said, one thing, he says, don't take a jacket, don't take a suit. And okay, he said, I'll have a tie. He says, no, don't take a tie either. He says, the brethren that the house will be meeting doesn't have air conditioning. And I remembered Mr. Dempsey's prayer. So, and if you don't remember, several weeks ago, we were in the high 90s here. Well, it was 105 in Del Rio when I was there. So it was, they said it's always hotter in Acuña. So it was around 108, 109 in Acuña. So I was gearing up for it when he came by, him and his wife came by and picked us up. And we brought some of our garden with us, some chilas, and, you know, we had a big basket of it for the brethren over there. So off we go. And in your mind as a child, in your childhood home, you remember certain landmarks in your hometown. And I remember riding my bike, and every, almost in this particular, my hometown, there's a cuartel. They call it cuartel. It's a garrison. And that garrison was put up back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, because Mexico, a lot of the villages had problems with the Apache Indians, which was pushed by the Americans onto Mexico. So they were running around, and that's where Geronimo, if you remember the story of Geronimo, that area was Apache country. So that's where that garrison was there. Usually that garrison is on the edge of town, and I would ride my bike past there, and there was a creek I always hung out to, and it was a real nice creek. You can go fishing, go swimming. And it was all, you know, shrubs and landmarks, and there was no buildings, nothing out. There wasn't even paved roads. Well, now it's like we passed the cuartel or passed the garrison with Mr. Diaz, and I said, oh, no, there's a whole new city. It's paved roads. You've got shopping centers. You've got a big, huge supermarket. And in Mexico, you have these super, like a Walmart, and it's called Gutierrez. And in Gutierrez, you can buy anything. You can buy, if you want something to eat, you come in and they have cauldrons or mole, they have whatever you want to eat, it's right there on the spot. You can set up a chair and eat. Or if you want tires, they got tires. Clothes, you got clothes, they'll have everything. So it's a huge thing. And plus you have all kinds of houses and we went through two stoplights intersections and busy intersections. And when we get, finally we get to the house that we're going to meet in, and I was preparing myself. I says, here we go. And you can feel the warmth of the brethren there coming up and meeting us because, oh, you know, you're here. And I says, did you tell them? Yeah, we told them. So he said, how many people attend? 22. And there's, I think, five, I guess we call it for our children. But most part, I guess you two didn't attend that Sabbath, but I guess we made up for it. And it's a small house. And I guess if you want to, dimension-wise, it's probably 12 by 18, the living room. And what Mr. DeMarkis does, he makes the chicken, the kitchen counter, he puts a little, his Bible on it. He has his Bible study and talks to the brethren there. So everybody, there's a mad pace to put chairs and everything else. And lo and behold, there's an air conditioning unit. So the lady that has the house, lends us the house to go ahead and have services, her husband is not out of faith. He works in the oil field, and therefore that's, and he comes in every 15 days or every month, and that one of those, just a couple of days before that, he had enough to put a air conditioning for. And we were very thankful for that. And that was an opening prayer, by the way. Mr. DeMarkis gave the sermonette. And the title of the sermonette was, How to Overcome Sin. And he said, there's two ways to overcome sin. And if you can turn with me, brethren, to 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter 1:13. This is Peter telling the brethren of back then the same thing, you know. And I bet you it was pretty much the same scenario he was talking to, too. It wasn't too much off. So 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. He says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. Okay, what's the opposite of sober that we know? Drunk, right? Sober. So, but what sober means is a clear head, clear mind, not cluttered with other things that, of this world that tends to weigh us down. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So we need to have a sober mind, a clear head, all that time to overcome sin, to be able to meet with Jesus Christ. And then he says, so we need to be mentally sober. You need to be mentally sober in order to focus on the kingdom. And he referenced Matthew 6:33. We all know that, you know. To And the second thing he mentioned, which I thought was a good analogy, he said you have to set up a firewall. So cybernetically speaking, you know, we're talking about putting up a firewall. You know, because sin is going to come in to our minds, and it's going to clutter. You know, we're human, and it's something that is going to happen. But he said, if you have a firewall, it can be able to, in Spanish, it's rechazarlo, or, you know, evict it, or erase it. So you can be able to do that. In Spanish, you call it pared de fuego. So any bad thought that comes in, by placing a firewall, you can erase it. Now, this morning, he also mentions about those. Sometimes our firewall is not up to date. You know, our Bible study, and also our connection with God. Our connection, we have to have that connection with him. If it's not there, our firewall is not up to date. And thus, we can have bad thinking coming into our head. And this morning, I usually swing by my beehives and just to make sure there's a sanity check. And I noticed there's one of the many enemies the bees have is called a wax moth. And a wax moth will try to come in behind the central, well, all the bees are coming in, and they'll come in with the swarm, and they'll try to get their way in there and pass the guards, because the guards all check the incoming workers, and they pull off all the mites and all kinds of parasites that come in, and they try to come in through there. Well, apparently one of them did. And what they'll do, the wax moth, while the guard bees are chasing it through the combs, it's laying its eggs inside the combs all throughout until finally they either kill it or throw it out. Well, it doesn't take long, a few days, that the wax moth worm emerges and starts eating through the combs. And the more wax it eats, the bigger it gets. And it creates a web, and it destroys the honey, and it destroys the combs, it destroys the babies, everything. And so when I opened it and I saw, all I saw was web, I said, panic. Because if I allowed it to continue, it'd kill my whole hive. It killed two of my boxes, I guess, I don't know if I make my, two boxes. So it's a hive that's been 3 years old, so it's a significant loss. It's still holding on. James and I helped me to put down and take out, get rid of worms and everything. But it let something in. The guards let something in. As efficient as the bees are, it let something in. It probably tried 1,000 times and never worked. And it's only that one time it did. And same thing with our firewall. Us as Christians, the same thing can happen to us. We can be attending for 30, 40 years, and then all of a sudden that one misstep. Follow me to Matthew 7, verses 22-23. And you know, brethren, we can relate sometimes, and we've heard of people on this verse. As I read this, you can probably trigger some memory to you. It says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then Jesus will say, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We can sprinkle that with modern terminology now, or that references us, or that falls on us. We can say, add to that, Lord, Lord, we attended Sabbath services. We tithe. We attended your feast. So God knows our hearts, brethren. Mr. DeMakis also gave the sermon. He emphasized the feast days, and he went through each feast day and how important it was. And his opening question to them was, why do we attend the feast? Why do we even observe these feast days? And obviously we go to Leviticus 23, the ones that we're very familiar with. And as we were turning there, he reminded us that God is the Alpha and the Omega. You know, just because it's in the Old Testament, doesn't mean it's done away with. You know, this is the foundation. 23:1, verses 1-2. It says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. Now, he went on to explain, Mr. DeMakis did, about the feast days and how each one affected us and affected the church. And I don't need to explain, because pretty much we know the oversight of this. After services, Mr. Diaz, after services was concluded by Mr. DeMakis, but Mr. Diaz, before everybody broke up, he wanted our attention. And he wanted our feedback on what he's going to be participating in a talent show in San Miguel. And he said, and we went through the demonstration that he has. And it's very good. I'm not going to tell you, Mr. Mendez, because I'm going to let you find out. But it's very good. And it's the title of his theme of his talent show is CAUF, Confidence, Obedience, Faith. Now, it's very good. I was part of it, and he's going to get several participants in the feast to participate in it, which would be, it's a good one. After that, we went ahead and went to they have a potluck. So everybody brings a little bit something for the potluck. There we talked with the brethren. They asked where I used to live, and I said, I know her. And you know how that goes. And one of the brethren there recognized me. He said, you used to go to Monterey. And I said, yes, I did. He's a young man. And he said, I saw you in the feast in Guanajuato. And he said, you live here in Acuña now? I says, yes. They are coming for the work. There's a lot of factories and things like that. And Mexico, Acuña, Mexico, when I left, it was a city of maybe 75,000. Now it's hundreds of thousands of people, you know, all walks of life. You've got the Chinese, you've got Germans live there, because they've got factories that are, you know, that they've got working, and they're developing parts for cars and things like that. We said our goodbyes after a good lengthy meal, and just to let you know, this congregation has only been in Acuña for 2 years. And Mr. DeMonkeys goes every 2 months to go visit them. Now, Mr. DeMonkeys, if you can picture Chihuahua, Mexico, it's the other side of the Big Bend, I don't know, in Chihuahua. And what he does, he takes a bus and travels from Chihuahua, Mexico, south, I guess you call it, or south to a town called Torreon. And from Torreon, he takes another bus to go from Torreon north to Acuña. Because there's a mountain range, and it's the very tips of the Rocky Mountains. And for years and years and years, Mexican government has always tried to put a road from Acuña to Chihuahua, which you can be able to, just like I guess Highway 90 or Highway 10 would be for Texas, you know. So it takes him 12 to 14 hours to get to Acuña, you know. So he arrives on Friday, has a Bible study with the brethren, and then we have services at 12, and then he has another Bible study after services, and he leaves Sunday morning. So he's a busy man, and whenever they take, when he comes, they wring every bit of information from him, which is good. And it's good to see and to talk to brethren that are very enthusiastic. And by the way, we gave you a good report, Mr. Mendez, so I hope you live up. No, I'm just joking. They send us our warmest regards, and that gives us more energy and to fear God and to keep his commandments, brethren.